Hello, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to... What are we recording here? Life Autistic. This is episode 589. And I need to apologize. I don't know if episode 588 is going to be on the site. I'm debating. Probably not. And in case it is, though, I need to give an apology and an explanation. I was ragging on church fairs. Now, I'm only a clerk, number one. You know, the LDS Church, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It is an organization, as always. It is actually run by a group of, you know, by, I wouldn't say they're volunteers, by lay, it's a lay ministry. If you want to use those kinds of terms, that's what it is. And so the people who do all the work, they don't get paid for it. I wouldn't call it a volunteer because it's somewhat compulsory. You know, you do it out of a sense of, I think, obligation, or at least I do. That may be the Zenith part of me, the Asperger's, autism, ADHD, whatever part of me that views this stuff as basically an obligation. I do this because God asks it of me. You know, and you go, under other circumstances, if I didn't have those kinds of that, if I didn't have that, motivation, would I do it? And you go, gee, I don't know, probably not. I probably wouldn't do it. But, you know, but I do it because it's something that God says we need to do. So there it is. But I was ragging on some of the administrative things, on some other things, some philosophical things. I was going to keep it in there just because of the whole concept of a difference something that's voluntary and it should be fun, and something that's compulsory and by its nature isn't terribly fun. And whenever you organize something, whenever it has a kind of institutional structure to it, you're invariably going to have that kind of stuff. There's some parts of the job that just aren't fun, or that just don't, you know. Now you try to keep those things down to a minimum for the volunteers, and that was one of my big things when I was advising like nonprofits, you know, about things like money and about activities and things like that. I said, if you're spending all of your time doing paperwork trying to keep the money flowing, and you can't get volunteers to do that because it's not very fun, I said, you need to restructure what you're doing. You need to reduce that paperwork. Whoever's getting paid needs to think that paperwork. And you need to have the volunteers doing more actual stuff. That's what keeps things viable. That's what gives you a good, barometer of whether you're doing something that's worthwhile. If you have volunteers that are happy to do what you're doing, then you're doing the right thing. If you're having problems getting people to do it, then you're probably doing the wrong thing. I'm not saying it might not be good things, but it might not be the right thing for the group of people you're doing. If you can't get people to get excited about it, then you need to walk away from that and find something that they can get behind. Anyway, so I'm here to make kind of a public apology of my statements that very easily could be construed, because I may have meant them that way. I haven't listened to the recording for a while. I don't know what take I actually took. Hopefully I wasn't too bad about saying bad things about LDS church leadership or anything like that. And I will give you an example of why that's a bad thing. And if that's what I did, I'm sorry. And I need to change. I'm not going to say that you heard it wrong. I'm going to say I did it wrong. I usually feel it's pretty disingenuous you hear a lot of people on the radio or stuff like that trying to justify something that they said instead of just apologizing and saying, I shouldn't have said that. It was a wrong thing to say. I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know, and they'll say, well, you know, people misconstrued what I said. I was actually correct, but you heard it wrong. You know, and I don't want to be like that because that's not honest. I went somewhere I shouldn't have. And I will tell you that a lot of my conversations at home have been like this. Because it's really easy to say, oh, you know, the church is so demanding. It's asking so much of us. And it would be a lot easier if the church went like this and this and this. But, you know, you can say that, but not being in that leadership role that makes that decision. It gets down to being backbiting type of stuff, which is always, I think, wrong. One should not backbite, period. If you don't like something, bring it up to the person you don't like it to, and then let it drop. You know, I was mentioning that in the LDS Church there is a certain hierarchy, and it is kind of built in I guess you can technically question. I'm not the type to do that. You know, my job is to serve and to follow and to be a good little Indian. And I've been struggling with that. And I got down to the point to where I think I was being damaging. And my daughter, my wonderful daughter Shayna, the oldest one, she goes to seminary. The LDS Church has religious classes. I don't think there's any real close analog in other faiths, particularly, or in other Christian denominations, to go a seminary. It's not like we're training the next, you know, priest. It's not like the Catholic form of seminary, I guess. This is what kids from 14 to 18 go to daily. It's kind of like church school, what passes for church school for us. You still go to the regular school with your other friends. You get up early in the morning to go to an hour worth of what would seem like church school. There's usually not much homework besides reading the scriptures or things like that. My daughter goes to this, and she came back, and she goes, oh, Dad, I know... I'm going to help you, or something along those lines. And she told me about, she said, we studied about, was it Elihu? It was some child of Aaron. This was after the children of Israel had left Egypt, and they had the Ark of the Covenant, or someone who wasn't authorized to try to steady the Ark. Somebody slipped. It was falling into a river or something, as I recall. Now, you guys are going to get upset and say, Jay, you don't know your scriptures. I go, well, I don't have them in front of me here. You know, I'm trying to remember this from just my head. I don't know all the specifics. But somebody went to stay in the ark. Now, God had told them that nobody was supposed to touch the ark but Levites. So those two people died when they touched the ark. They were smitten and died. And everybody said, well, what's the problem? Hey, they were just trying to protect the ark. And God said, you weren't obeying what I said. I did not say only Levites should touch the ark except under extreme circumstances. No, he said nobody touches the ark except, you know, the children of Levi. And there it was. And at least in the LDS, S parlance, that's one of the things that gets said at times when you try to when you're bellyaching and complaining, and I was, I'll honestly say that I was bellyaching and complaining about it, about things that are other people's affairs in the church, you know, about your bishop or your branch president, that he's not doing things the way you think it should be done. That can be compared to you going and steadying the ark. It's not your responsibility. And God doesn't take kindly to it. So that's why I'm here to apologize. because that's what I feel like that's what was what I was doing. I was trying to stay in the arc, and it's not my place. I need to stay in my place and just smile. I've got a calling to do. I need to do my calling. And I need to do the best that I can to get to the Celestial Kingdom. I shouldn't be getting in the way of other people doing their jobs. And that doesn't mean that they can lord over me. See, I was thinking about that and saying, well, there's this flip side to this. They have no right to lord over me, you know, and say, well, you're going to do it my, it's my way or the highway. It's like, well, no, because I just, you know, I don't have to feel, you know, when it comes to scouting at church, I don't have to be a part of scouting at church. I know it's really bad form to do that, and it's not right, it's not good. But yeah, I said no, I'm not going to get involved in that. We are doing something in lieu of. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it out of a sense of, well, if your kids aren't involved and there's not enough kids and it's no fun, it's all your fault. I'm not going to take that. I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to take that. If that's what it comes down to. I hope it doesn't. I'm not trying to destroy the church. I'm just saying, hey, you know, I am the patriarch of my home. My wife and I get to make decisions that affect our children. We will not be dictated to by, you know, my family isn't run. I am not the bishop or branch president's assistant assigned to the Nemro family. I'm the patriarch of my family. If I don't want to get mixed up in this stuff, I'm not required to. And if that hurts other people, you know, other people need to take a look at why they're so, you know, at their troubles, you know. If the loss of two or three people kills something, then one should look at the state of that thing. You know, why are you trying to prop up something that obviously isn't going to work if something happens? Anyway, what I was trying to say is I'm sorry if I gave the impression that I was attacking a church position or church people. If I did that, I am sorry. I don't want to do that. That's why sometimes I get so aggravated about things, because I wish they were different. But I really don't have any place to be saying they should be different, and I need to just keep my problems to myself. You know, it doesn't mean that my attitude's changed. It's just not my department. I don't need to be advising people, especially in something as public as a podcast, on how things should be done. That's something for somebody else to talk about. If I'm not being asked my opinion, then my opinion should not be in the fray. You know, and people can take whatever they want to take out of that. I won't be dictated to as a patriarch, that's for sure. Anyway, let me see, was there anything else that really needed to come up on this recording? Is this just a... I don't want to call it a retraction, but is it just really something I need to do? Oh, well, yeah, you know, I probably need to apologize for other things, because sometimes I really get upset at Lisa because sometimes we seem to be going in different directions. There seems to be different things that we really want, and we've never been able to find much of a compromise. Although, you know, it's probably my fault. I'm probably the guy that seems just unhappy with the compromises. Lisa would probably love to be in a much larger city than she's in. She would probably really like to be in those kinds of circumstances. And I need to ask her, I said, would you really prefer that if what I wanted was totally off the table? For all I know, she's compromised a whole lot. That's why I need to apologize again. Because I give the impression that Lisa's this stick in the mud. You know, well, she doesn't want this, she doesn't want that, she doesn't face reality, blah, blah, blah. And that's, And you know what? I could be accused of the same thing just as readily. And certainly, I probably have more of a propensity to it, given the fact that I'm Zenith slash Autistic slash Asperger slash ADHD, whatever. If there's ever a question of who's probably getting more retentive about this and what's their way and is willing to force the issue, it would probably fall on me for the simple reason that that's definitely a character trait of this. It tends to be a little more self-centered. It tends to think that their way is the right way and everybody else is the wrong way. That relates kind of back to the stuff I was saying about scouts and church and struggling with that. And saying, yes, I'm right, you're wrong, wrong, wrong. And it's like, well, no, not necessarily. If I were to be put into those circumstances, I don't know if I would fare any better. Might actually make circumstances worse. So another thing to keep in mind, for Jay, for me, while I'm doing all these things, it's just to remember, you know, I have a propensity for self-centeredness. I have a propensity for these things, too. Or just I have a propensity. My wife might not. She may have come to a long conciliatory route just to get where we are today. To try to appease me. And if she has, I feel badly because I've been always of the impression that I was the one being so conciliatory. And perhaps I haven't been. Perhaps she's conceded more than I have. And if that's true, I need to lighten up. I need to say, you know what, she's done an awful lot. She's sacrificed a ton for this venture, and I need to sacrifice a little bit more. She doesn't need to sacrifice so much. So, those were basically the two things I really wanted to talk about in this recording, was, two pretty good-sized apologies. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to, I don't want to cause, that's probably one of my biggest things, I don't want to cause other people problems, and I worry that maybe I do it in a selfish way, that I have things to offer people, and I tend to hold it back because I have this weird idea in my mind that when I offer to people what I have to offer, that it either offends them or makes them angry or whatever, and maybe I need to be offering, not criticism, but here's what I can do for you. Let me know if I can ever do this for you. Be a little more friendly. Not as in, we're best buddies, we pal around together. I'm not really that type of person, but, they say, well, Jay's a good guy. He's quiet, he keeps to himself, but when push comes to shove and I need help, he'll be there for me. I want to be that kind of a person that'll be there for people. Doing the other things that I guess constitute friendship is really taxing for me and kind of torturous in a way, but I want people to come to me if they need help and say, if I have something to offer, I can do that. Now, I also have to be careful. I'm not constantly, but sometimes I make Lisa upset because I'll offer something that ends up she's having to pay for it. You can get help from us this way. And it's like, oh, I should just be quiet about that because that ends up being something that Lisa has to handle and not me. And she needs to make that decision if she wants to give up her time or her energy to do that. I shouldn't be offering it in her stead. because that's certainly not appropriate. I have a friend that they did that, and sometimes it was a little awkward because they would say, "Hey, you know what? You're asking the wrong person." You go, "Well, I just want to know if your wife could do us a favor." It's like, no, you need to talk to her. They were even to the point to where they didn't pass messages back and forth. Because too many times, and it's true, people will kind of dump something on you and then walk away. There's a couple of instances of this happening. I won't go into specifics at all. And I worry that this becomes a bad trait, you know, to say, I told you, you know, I asked you if that was okay, and you didn't say no, so I'm coming over to make good on this something that I wanted from you, and now I'm upset because you didn't get it done. You know, you didn't do what was required. And it's like, wait, nobody ever said they were doing anything. I was trying to kill time, do a nice way to either say no or say, you know what, I'm not really sure I can do that. You know, people come to this thing that like everybody is supposed to be really helpful and go out of their way to help you, and it gets almost kind of demanding, you know. I really need this help. If you need to help me, you people are crappy because you're not helping me the way I need help, or the way I want help, the way I have expressed the fact that I need help. And that's a sad thing, because it puts everybody into a position of feeling obligated, and sometimes obligated to do things that they really can't deliver very well. When you nail somebody to the wall and say, I need this done. And I think the solution to this is that you can't give away your problems to other people. Or you can't give away your responsibilities to other people. And I think we get caught in that because people always talk about delegating. Well, I'm delegating this to you. And you're going, but that doesn't take away your responsibility. When you delegate, I'm only going to help you. And I can decide how that help is. And if I don't feel like I can do that, there should not be any kind of backlash if you say, you know what, I can't do that. I can't offer you that kind of assistance. You know, and you may want to offer something in trade, you know, I can, you know, if, okay, let me give an example that doesn't have reality, so that I don't offend somebody, because I don't want to offend people particularly. Food. Okay, let's say somebody says, you know, I'm starving, I need food. And they come to you and they say, I really need some food. And you just say, well, let me see what I can do. And then they call you back a few days later and say, hey, where's my food? Because they have basically given over their responsibility to procure food. They basically handed it to you. And now they get to be upset as if you had paid them money to take care of your food problem when you haven't. But you've given them the responsibility, and now you get to be justifiably irked that they're not doing their job. You're not doing the job that I gave you to do. And you're going, whoa, number one, are you my boss? Are you paying me? Have we made some kind of a contractual agreement here? No, we have not. It says, I'm not obligated to give you food. I said if I could, I would try. That doesn't mean that I'm all of a sudden responsible and I have to go out and try to procure food from you, go and spend a lot of my time trying to solve your problem for you. That's, you know, that's wrong. If that's what delegation is, don't ever doubt. You should change your definition of delegation, or simply don't delegate anymore. Because it's true, you know, you're responsible for that need. And just because somebody else says they're going to see what they can do, or that they're going to help you, doesn't obligate them. You're still responsible to get that food. You shouldn't be throwing that stuff at them. It's still your obligation. But, you know, we do that so many times to each other, and then we get angry. This is your responsibility. It needs to be done. And the kid goes, you know, and it could be a kid, you know, it could be a chore that you've given a child. And let me tell you, it goes a whole lot better if you say, could you help me with this? And ultimately, they may get to the point to where they just do it for you, and boy, isn't that great help. But we need to look at it that way, you know. Especially, you know, and it works so much better because then you can say, oh, thank you so much for doing this. And it isn't that kind of fake praise or fake thanks that you give to somebody for basically breathing. You know, oh, thank you for not shooting me in the head. I know you could have, but you didn't. Thank you. You know, that's kind of false thanks because, you know, it's assumed that, you know, everybody's going to be shooting everybody else in the head just willy-nilly, and you've gone out of your way not to do it. And it's like, well, why are you thanking me for something I didn't do? You know? Unless it was something that, you know, I normally would have done, and in doing it, I've done a favor to you, then I guess that's something. You know, thanking somebody for a favor or a good turn that really didn't end up being a favor or a good turn. If we do it that way and we say, you know what, there's a lot of things to be done in our family, and your mother and I have typically would do all of it. This is, but it's just gotten too much. Could you help us with some of this? My daughter did a wonderful job scraping Shana. Well, Brenna helped too. They both did. Sorry, I need to give equal credit because they both worked on it. I think Shana worked on it probably a little bit more because she had a little bit more spare time. And they scraped the floor of the bathroom upstairs. We're going to put down a different floor on it, so we need to tear up the old floor. And boy, it was a pretty interesting job. It wasn't as easy as it could have been. Anyway, but when I did it that way, number one, they were grateful. They didn't mind doing it because it wasn't an obligation for which I was going to beat them later if they didn't do it. But it was a favor to me, and I did. I thanked them. I said, oh, you know, I've been so tired, and just so many things just kind of dumped on me lately. I just need some help with it. And it made everybody feel better. I felt better because I had less work to do. And they felt better because they were doing me a favor. And that's so much better than everybody kind of tossing obligation around and delegating and being, you know, and being a... and being obligatory about it. I'm grateful for people. When we can share the load, the person who's responsible for that load can feel, can breathe a sigh of relief, and those who help can feel good in that they're being helpful and they're participating in their... and they're doing a favor for somebody. Isn't that a wonderful way of looking at it? Instead of obligation all the time. Well, you're obliged to do this, and I don't think you're doing it right. And then all of a sudden somebody says, you know, this used to be fun a long time ago, doing this nice thing. And now it's become a drudgery and something that I can't stand. And you go, let's take it to a different, let's do this differently. It isn't that the nature of the job changed at all. It's just the way people looked at it helped them not to feel, number one, guilty about what couldn't be done. Everybody could feel good about what got done. And that's And that's a huge thing. And so, in the midst of my apologies here for, you know, making my wife not feel good about not coming a little more my way, of saying that church leadership doesn't have the right take on things, I can say instead, you know, I can be helpful. I can help you with either our joint responsibilities, because my wife and I share the responsibilities that we have. You know, I guess as a patriarch, it weighs, it's actually ends up being my responsibility, but we kind of share it together. And we need to do a better job of that. Or I need to do a better job of not flinging guilt trips on everybody. You know? A bishop or a branch president, on the other thing, has a tough job. He has lots of demands coming at him in 100 different ways. A lot of people want everything to be done exactly the way they want it to be done. And of course, you're not going to be able to pull that off. So when you finally do come to a decision and say, this is the way it's going to be, you don't need a bunch of people bellyaching about the decision that got made. You know? Unfortunately, I'm an INFP, and that means I never consider any decision made final. Things can always be revisited, you know? Certain ideas can always be, you know, you can always say, well, you know, let's try it for a while, and if it works out, great. If it doesn't work out, well, let's try something else instead. And you go, well, you know, huh. And that means I make a person who says, let's just make a decision and stick with it for a while, person kind of crazy. Because they go, you know, Jay digs around with stuff too much. You know, for people who say, I just want to know what my responsibilities are and I want them to stay right there. I'm the kind of guy that is more likely to dink around with it unless I'm really thinking about it and saying, you know what, it's better to keep things the way they are. It keeps people happier. Unless they're stuck in a situation they don't like, then keeping them there is really a bad idea. So, anyway. So, lots of apologies. Lots of Jay trying to realize what's the right way to handle things. Hopefully I'm getting closer. Hopefully I can integrate this into my Venus schema for myself and say, Jay, you can do this. Jay, you can integrate this into your personality, and you can look at the other person's picture and say, you know what, how would I like to be treated? Like, this is, I'm doing somebody a favor. You know, because then I feel good. If it's shoved at me as an obligation and you're in trouble, you know, if there's a labor to be done, let's say, in the LDS Church there's something called home teaching. And home teaching has always been a basic bone of guilt for me personally. I think a lot of people have gotten past it and just kind of shut it off. You know, you're supposed to visit a group, some people every month. And I think if we came at it as, now this is a responsibility we all share. It's my responsibility, you know, if you're the Elders Quorum president, it's my responsibility to help you with this. What can I do is, you know, it's mostly from an administrative standpoint. So like, well, Elders Quorum President, if you're so helpful, why don't you just do all mine for me every month so I don't have to? And you go, but see, that you can't shuck your responsibility that you're a part of the people that need to get this done. We need to help try to do it together. If there are people who you just despise going to, let's see if we can make a change. that somebody else doesn't despise going to those people. You know, and that makes it hard because there's probably several people that need visits, and home teaching is a monthly visit to everybody in a branch or a ward, every family, which includes every person. A person constitutes a family too. It isn't like you just go to the people who have mothers and fathers and kids. Everybody gets seen by a home teacher. Everybody has a home teacher. That we share that responsibility. And when somebody's not being gotten to, we are, you know, we're not serving them the way we're supposed to. Now, this is the way we came up with to get it done. It says, you know, let's see if we can... let's see if we can do either a better job or share the load better. If somebody else is heavily burdened with this stuff and somebody else is really lightly burdened, we might have to shift things around a little bit. But that's supposed to happen. That's part of what a PPI does. It says, how are you doing? How's your family doing? Are you being able to go see them? And if you can't, what can we do? Is it just that you're being lazy? You know? It says, you know, I can give you a kick in the butt if you feel it need, but that's something you need to tell me what you need me to help you with. I'm not just going to sit here and give you grief and tell you that you're not doing your job, because that's what it is. That's that weird kind of delegation that a lot of us fall into. I'm shucking off my stuff and I'm giving it to you, and now I can chew on and yell at you for your assignment undone. And you go, whoa, man, wait a minute. You know, I never really asked for this. I never really asked for this. You know, I can just leave if you want me to leave. You know, I don't want people to feel like that. I want people to feel good. And, you know, I want these podcasts to make you feel good, too. If we can all just go at these kinds of things, these kinds of either shared responsibilities or, you know, organizational heads get nailed with a lot of responsibilities in the name of the organization. And so the organization needs to come together and say, guys, we have to help. We have to make it so his job isn't miserable. Let's help him. You know, I need to do a better job at that. I think everybody needs to do a little bit better job at that, because we're too busy passing off responsibilities and then getting either upset or angry or trying to riddle other people with guilt because they aren't getting their job done. And the world doesn't need to be that way. I think if everybody just tried to be a little more helpful and say, you know, we've got a community problem, how can we help each other? Everybody feels a whole lot better. And God, wouldn't the world be a better place? Well, this is Jay Demereaux. You have been listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode 589. Apologies and making, guy, how do you say what this one was? Lots of apologies and a call to sharing the load. That sounds pretty good. This is Jay Demereaux. I'm glad I came up with that wonderful title. Where's my pointer? I'd say have a great day if my pointer was on the thing. There it is. This is Jay Demereaux, The Life Autistic. Have a great day.